past 6 weeks or so, as we've traveled week by week through the Gospel of Mark, we've heard these, we call it a series of sermons, that launches with, take up your cross and follow me, and then illustrates it all along the way with examples of what that looks like, which is essentially to say what it looks like to find life in the deeper sense and what we need to leave behind in order to do that. It's this first last juxtaposition. And today we're presented with the illustration I used last week of how Jesus lines it out of living wholeheartedly and what the divided heart pulls us off from that. This rich man who comes to Jesus with a question. How do I extend my good fortune in this life into the next one? How do I not lose it all when I make that crossing? And Jesus says, well, you already know how to do this. The commandments, right there. Like, good, I've kept them all. I get gold stars for everyone. But Jesus raises that bar and says, well, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. This is a bigger thing than he was expecting. And it's actually a bigger thing than we hear. In the first century Mediterranean world, this is not really about money. It's not like he goes in and cashes in his portfolio. It's embedded wealth. It came from family. It supports a whole network of relationships. It's going to go to family. It is his status in the world. It is his identity. To liquidate that is to essentially disown his life. It's incredibly disruptive. It disrupts everybody's life. And that kind of disruption is something he can't face. And so Jesus, really, in doing this prophetic thing, not judging him, just pointing out the misalignment of wanting something, intending something, but doing something else. I'm not able to put those two together. This is all about alignment. And it is true that the alignment of our intention and our action always has and always will release huge amounts of power in the world and in our own lives. Each week we're also given another set of readings from the what we call the First Testament or Old Testament, which is kind of like a good wine pairing. We read serially through the gospel, but then there's these readings dropped in to create a kind of resonance, to listen in on this gospel reading. So today it comes from Amos. Let justice roll down. Remember Amos? Like mighty waters. Amos is all about God's justice, which is the biblical way, the scriptural way of talking about this alignment. When we hear the word justice, or when we use it as modern people, we mostly are talking about punishment. Equal punishment under the law. When we say justice was served, we mean somebody got what they deserved, got punished under the law, and our best hope is that it's equal for everybody. Equal deserving, equal punishment, equal reward. The scriptural idea of justice is much bigger and broader. It's essentially about how resources flow in a community, from where they are to where they need to be. It's like gravity. It's going and flowing to the places that where it's concentrated, the places that need it, so that everything thrives. So when he talks about it here, he's got a very specific perspective, which is not the halls of justice, but justice at the gate. So in an ancient city, you know, there's a gate, a wall and a gate. And what happens at the gate is kind of a free flow, free for all. Anything can happen at the gate until you get inside the gate. So it's actually a good place to look at what the core values of the group are. We sometimes say that if you want to see the health of a society, look at how it treats its most vulnerable members. What happens at the gate is this unvarnished, unwhitewashed, and that happens in the halls of power, but here you see it all. This is where the king comes in and out, as well as the beggar and the pauper. Everything happens, all the transactions that go on there. And Amos looks at it and says, this is not good. He says, you push the needy away at the gate. And then he says, and you hate the one who points it out at the gate. And finally, the third time, he says straight up, establish justice at the gate, or else. And his or else isn't, or God's going to whack you. It's not a capricious judgment, even though it sometimes sounds like that when we hear the voice of the prophet. It's the natural consequence of living unaligned lives. He says that essentially. He says, your righteousness becomes like wormwood. Society rots from the core. So, as we focus ourselves in this community of faith on following the way of Jesus, the way of love, wholeheartedly, this is maybe one of our most essential tools of looking for alignment like the prophets did. Not judging, just noticing where things are as we say they are, and where what we say and what we do are slightly off. So to do this, Jesus has given us a pithy statement, a restatement, really. And it's one, like he says to the rich ruler, he says, it's one you all already know. So I would put a bet down that, but I'd bet a lot of money on this, that everybody here knows it already. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 7, verse 12, and Jesus says, calls it the essence of the law and the prophets. So it's not a throwaway line. He's saying, pay attention to this, because this has it all. Do unto others, can you finish it? As you would have them do unto you. That's it. That's not a Hallmark greeting. It might be that, but it's also scripture. And actually, every religion has a version of it in place. This is the core. So take that in for a moment. I mean, it's easy to say, but now sit with it. This is not do unto others as they have done unto you. That's the justice we mostly know. It's not do unto others before they do it to you. That's even a more aggressive version of that. That's preached. It is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Kind of uses the selfish gene to start with anyway. Say, we know how we'd like to be treated. We know that right away. Now the question is, maybe we treat our friends that way, our best friends. We don't even treat our partners that way all the time. We certainly don't treat the neighbors that way, and we really don't treat our enemies that way. Just, we don't. So there's a gap. Notice that gap. That's the noticing of the prophets. And imagine what would happen if a critical mass, not a majority, just like yeast in the dough, said, you know what? We're going to practice that, starting here and moving out, to say, we will do to others as we would have done to us, wherever possible. Or if not possible, we'll notice the gap. Imagine a community that did that. Imagine if that were written into policy. There's a different world right there. Within reach, actually. Except it kind of sounds like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And it gets written away. Well, that's just never going to happen. So let's go back to the old way. Let's do to others before they do to us. So, but here is a fun fact about the eyes of needles and camels and gates. So in the ancient world, every city had a wall and every city had a gate. You could drive a bus through it. But next to the gate was a door. It was about the size of a short person, about this wide, and you could come and go through it, bust it down. It was called the eye of a needle. And, you know, you really couldn't get a camel through it. You couldn't even get a person on a horse. That was its intention. You had to dismount. You couldn't come with a drawn sword. It was too narrow. You couldn't pack up your camel to make a quick getaway. It was too narrow. So suddenly that might open up some more places to reflect. It's not that it's impossible. It's just impossible to get where we want to go the way we want to get there with all our stuff. You got to get off your high horse, Jesus is saying. We got to lay down our swords. We got to unload our baggage. It's right there. And that can't be done on our terms. I don't think we can practice the golden rule without doing that. Right there is the choice. The rich, you know, you can't have it both ways. So it's a choice how we behave, what we do next. And sometimes even that seems like too big of an impossibility. I just can't do this. Well, I love where this reading from Hebrews comes kind of in to round it out. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, not for judgment, but so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace are the scripture's way of talking about the full flowering of justice. That's where justice goes. When we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, it ends up looking not like equal punishment under the law, but it's flowering of mercy and grace. It's this great spiral upward and outward. Philosopher Goethe, poet philosopher, said, "If you treat an individual as they are, they will remain as they are. If you treat them as what they could be, they will become what they ought to be and could be." That's how Jesus saw the rich man, and how he sees us, and invites us to see others, and invites us to see ourselves as we move forward. This beautiful line in this gospel story, where he looks at the man, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He didn't judge him. He saw what he could be, what he was. What the man didn't see himself was his opportunity, and he offered it to him. Eye of the needle, but that's the invitation, is to let it go, walk through to each one of us. So if we want to practice with this week, then I would say, just look for the gap. It's the invitation. Look for the gap between what you say you believe in, say you do, say who you are, all that stuff. And whereas, like, well, not always. Maybe nobody sees it, but there's this little space between that full alignment. And it's that way for all of us. If there's no space, then we're enlightened, we're in heaven already, there's nowhere to go, and that's just not the case for anybody. So we're in a learning, we're on a pilgrimage. So there's more to learn. So look for the gap. And if you really want to go for the stretch, don't do anything about it but notice it. If you try to fix it, that just becomes one more ego trip of, look, I did it, I kept the law, I got a gold star. Instead, just notice it and see what happens. Watch how mercy and grace starts to close the gap. How it just starts to close by noticing. It's only when we push it away that it stays there. that creates this great spiral of blessing that is the world we want. Justice at the gate and everywhere else. We can't change the world tomorrow, but we can start here now. As we start this stewardship cycle, it's a great time to be thinking about this. What an auspicious reading to sit with what it means for us to identify with deep justice, flowing from where resources are to where they're needed, and just going with the flow, which means letting go of the shore. Can't be a trapeze artist if we won't let go of the bar. But if we let go, there is something. As I love how Paul says it, more than we can ask or imagine. Mercy and grace. Justice at the gate. This is the way.